Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You apply to be a professor, you go before the faculty, and unless you toe the ideological line, they will blackball you. And that's what happens. So we've gone around the faculty. It's not their responsibility. It's not their right to be blackballing conservative professors. And so we've now recruited all these great folks at the Hamilton Center, University of Florida, place like New College in Sarasota. And when we get done with it, the University of West Florida, you will see some big changes there. Trust me. University of West Florida, buckle up. You're going to see a lot of changes there for the better. It's going to be, I mean, how does like the most conservative part of the state have some of these like some of the most liberal programs in the state? It doesn't make any sense. So the times are a change in there too. So you're going to see that.
Sounds different now, don't it?
Or
does it sound exactly like what we thought might be the case since we were speculating that the governor's goal was to get rid of Martha Saunders and put in a loyalist, or just somebody else because of some perception that UWF is this wildly liberal place, which, again, I always hate saying a thing that I've said many times before, but I will say it again. As a conservative, as somebody who agrees that most universities are very left of center, as somebody who's been fired or not asked back for expressing my own beliefs in the classroom, which the students always loved, but which put me at odds with the very liberal tone of many universities and community colleges. I just think that there ought to be a whole lot of different viewpoints offered, and that's normal. That's healthy. That's fine. That's the way it should be. But he's not wrong. I agree with the governor about a lot of places and a lot of cases and how, you know, departments reinforce their own viewpoint. They have viewpoint bias, massive viewpoint bias a lot of the time, sometimes intentional, sometimes they just can't see it out of their own because they hang out with the same people who think the same way. But avoiding this becoming an indoctrination center in universities is a good thing. Bringing balance, bringing true viewpoint diversity, not diversity of skin color or age or gender, although those things do bring some diversity, but viewpoint diversity among your professors, among your students, all of that, and the freedom to disagree. And I mean, it's kind of funny. I used to, when I taught logic and ethics, I used to begin my classes saying, I'm going to tell you all my biases up front, and then you can decide whether you want to stay in the class. But at least you know what they are. And you're not obligated to agree with me about anything. You're free to disagree with me about anything. And then I would say, now, how many of you have heard that before? And then you disagreed with the professor and got punished for it. Everybody. Which is bad. That's indoctrination. That's not how it's supposed to work. I actually have a weird soft spot for people who disagree with me. I feel like I'm supposed to be nicer to them on the radio, in writing, in friendship, whatever, in general. Because I believe in that. I believe in the disagreement. Anyway, so when he says that universities have lost their way and become indoctrination centers, but in Florida we're going to serve the interests of the state, I agree with him about that. I just don't think UWF is that place. It is a little. You read some of the courses, sure, problematic. You particularly look at social work, yeah, you're pretty problematic. You look at some of the campus culture, yeah, I mean, it's not very conservative, but it's mildly left compared to a lot of places where it is wildly left. In Florida. Okay. So anyway, that's what we got. And then, of course, yesterday, the big news was that, after the Board of Trustees meeting on Thursday, Martha Saunders has now tendered her resignation. It's not effective yet. She's going to wait until we have a new president. What she wrote about it yesterday was, to the UWF community, when I returned to the University of West Florida as president, I felt like coming home. This is 2017. She came back. This university gave me my start as an academic, and serving as its leader has been one of the great honors of my life. In accordance with the terms of my contract and after thoughtful reflection, I have made the decision to conclude my presidency. This was not an easy choice. I know it may come as a surprise and for some a disappointment. Please know I did not make it lightly. I believe this is the right time for me and for UWF. Over the past several years, we've accomplished extraordinary things together. Record enrollment, historic fundraising, national recognition, and a campus culture that puts students first. We've met challenges head on and kept our values intact. I could not be more proud of what we've built. I will work closely with the Board of Trustees and the campus leadership to ensure a smooth transition. My commitment to this university and its people remains strong through my final day in office and beyond. Thank you for your trust, your passion, and your belief in what UWF can be. Martha Saunders. Do we know for a fact that it was entirely because of the meeting? No. It's in logic and philosophy, we teach what's called the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. That means never assume that just because a thing happened after a thing, that it's because of a thing. At the same time, here we are 4 days later. It's hard not to connect the dots a little. And, you know, is she doing this because she views herself as an obstacle to the goals of UWF and dealing with the governor and the nature of the board going forward? I mean, yeah, of course. Of course. Was she also thinking about, man, I just don't really want to fight this fight right now? Maybe. Does she want to retire and spend time with the grandbabies? I mean, maybe. Did she accomplish her professional purposes at UWF as the longest-serving president in the UWF in the state university system in Florida? Maybe. I mean, I'm sure there's a sort of collage of motives. Was it done as a statement? You know, sometimes people resign as a protest, like as a statement. I'm not going to stay here under these circumstances. I think what's going on is wrong. Well, she didn't say that in her resignation. You know, so sometimes you have to give a person a chance to say what they mean, and if they don't, then you shouldn't say it for them. You know, also, she didn't blame the board of trustees. I mean, like, she didn't say much. But I know for me, I was very disappointed. I was very saddened by this decision. I think Martha Saunders has been a very good president. I mean, the university is crushing it across the board. And does that mean there's no room for improvement? Of course not. But this feels like a win, honestly, for the villains is what it feels like. It feels like a win for the villains. And these are villains who agree with me ideologically about a lot of things. But there are right and wrong ways to do things, and there's coming in and enforcing your will in a hostile takeover of a university that was already doing quite well. There's being honest and being dishonest. There's being respectful and being disrespectful. And I disagree vehemently with the way this was done, particularly with the way it was done by Zach Smith. That's the one who was on PSC and then got moved over to UWF, and now he's on both. I would like to see him off of both boards. The behavior that he showed in that meeting, and that's all I really had to judge him on, but the behavior he showed in that meeting, to me, demonstrated an inappropriateness to being on the Board of Trustees. But I will still say, and I said this before, I like Adam Kissel for this board, even though I question some of what he did in the board meeting, even though he's only going to be there for another 40 days. You know, because the Senate did not confirm him. But that's a conversation for a different day. Your thoughts on this 437-1620. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to report to you right now. If you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. Let's see here. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Some texts at 437-1620. Andrew, in your opinion, is UWF that liberal? No. Again, because I've seen universities that are far more liberal. Is it central? No. It's not. Is it conservative? No, it's not. I would put it, you know, mildly to the left of center. But I will say that it's very hard to know such a thing. Like, you have your own experiences, and I haven't sat in the classroom. I haven't gone through the coursework, the syllabus. I haven't taken the exams. I haven't talked to the professors. I haven't talked to get the kind of knowledge you need to decide whether an institution and how badly an institution is biased, you have to really kind of live it for a while. I could tell you the University of Illinois, okay? Or back when I went there, you know? But I don't know enough about UW. I'm just going on superficial markers, okay? Somebody else says, let's see, my son went to PSC and his teachers were so biased. They would fail him if they didn't agree with them. This is, sadly, and I do not say this about PSC. I just say that, sadly, in general, that's way more true than it should be. There just aren't, there are many great teachers. There are many terrible teachers. There are many heroes and many villains. It's like life, you know. And teaching liberalism or teaching conservatism should never be the problem. It's indoctrinating with it, right? I want kids exposed to both. I want them to be challenged. I don't want them to be propagandized. That's the difference. And that's a fine line. That's a hard thing to pull off. It's hard to get good teachers to do this properly. Somebody says, let's see, UWF is for sure too liberal and not balanced for our area. It's always been that way. I've lived here my whole life. A large percentage of students attending aren't even from here, so they don't care. It shouldn't be a place for promoting the life without someone keeping it balanced. Martha seems to have a great heart for the school, but I'm not sure she helped maintain that balance. You know, I think that's a potentially fair concern. Did Martha do enough to police the balance and to keep it on that track? I don't know that I know the answer to that question. That's certainly what Zach Smith and Adam Kissel and some of the others were pushing on. I'm just, again, and there's been stories over the years that we've dealt with UWF and being, you know, isn't college Republicans have a problem here? Safe spaces for expression. What's the, you know, can you disagree with the administration? But the survey indicates, yes, you can. In fact, that's one of the things that came up is that the students say they feel comfortable disagreeing. They don't feel like they get punished. You know, could there be more robust protections for that? Always, everywhere. Sure. Yes, of course. Do I think there will be better balance and better protections for that? I mean, I hope so. Could it also get run into the ground? It's possible. Could it become a right indoctrination center? It's possible. Would that be good? No. No. University shouldn't be an indoctrination center one way or the other. Let's see. Perhaps this was, somebody text 437-1620. Perhaps this was the beginning of extreme liberalism. I'm not sure quite what that means. Sorry. Somebody says, I stepped down from a position when I believed I lost confidence my supervisor made getting anything done about it wasn't worth the stress. Yeah, I get that. Somebody else says, a UWF graduate says, what is really bothering me about this resignation is I do believe is a direct result of Governor DeSantis and his stance on bringing politics into education. I was once asked while I was a student at UWF, the liberal ideals are affecting my conservative values. One, that person must not know me very well because I do not believe I have conservative nor liberal values. I'm a centrist. I have my values that can sometimes go one or the other. As a student at UWF, you have your Republicans, your Democrats, you have your fraternities, sororities, you have student athletes, and you have students who just simply want to be students. One thing I always believed in at the school was that regardless of where you fit in, everyone still works together and respected each other's ideas. I never looked at UWF as a liberal haven and believed it's completely wrong when Governor DeSantis has been doing, which is putting politics into education. I believe it's what cost him the presidency, and this is something he never would have done in the first term, as I think it has cost him his reelection, would have cost him. Somebody else says, my son got an F on a sociology paper at UWF because he didn't agree that trans people should compete in their opposite sex sports. Well, that's horrifying to get punished on a paper. I mean, it's not rare, but it's still horrifying. I told him he has to treat it as a thought experiment and just try and see what the other side thinks, but I also don't agree with the F. By the way, I've said this before. I guess I'll say it again. I think you should be challenged to encounter weird, wrong, even loony ideas at university. It's okay. It's healthy. Learn how to answer. Learn how to respond. Learn how to change. Question yourself. Introspection, you know? The whole critical race theory, the problem with critical race theory is not that it asks the question whether America has racism or whether America's institutions serve racist ends or any. It's that it forces you to accept that and then treats you like a wicked person because you're of the wrong race. You know, you're the oppressor class. It's not the questioning. It's the indoctrination and the fact that you have to adhere or you get punished. Those are the issues. 437-1620. Andrew, the real question is, how many games the football team going to win this season? Thank you. Nice. And by the way, I think Martha Saunders, I mean, it's possible. Again, it's speculation. It's possible she views this as a nice period point. You know, okay, look, I got the funding for the football stadium. I can transition out. I can see the grandkids. I can travel, you know, and also say something about what's going on. So anyway, somebody says, I think that there is something wrong with UWF. It's obvious she knows and easily resigned or she would have fought. I've heard this, that she knows there's more coming. She knows that where there's smoke, there's fire. How hard did Zach Smith have to scrub through 6 years of social media to find the outrageous examples? You know, I mean, how many are there really? 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. God is love. Those simple yet inspiring words were penned by John the Apostle. John had firsthand knowledge of the love of God. It is John who is recorded in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It is John who wrote that we love God because he first loved us. It was John who wrote Jesus' words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then John is recorded as being a witness to this greater love in which Jesus willingly laid his life down on the cross to die a substitutionary death which offers salvation to the world. There is no greater love than sacrificial love. God is love.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
You fight like a younger man. There's nothing held back. It's admirable, but mistaken.
One of my all-time favorite songs by Bush. So good. 727 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative,
local,
dependent.
Why'd you stop it?
Dependent.
I love it.
Because I will listen to the whole song.
I know.
And okay, we don't have time. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Fine. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, experiencing that construction delay of about 7 to 9 minutes there. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road intersection is seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. More than a dozen refugees are now in the U.S. after departing from South Africa on Sunday. The 49 white Africaners who were granted refugee status by the Trump administration were greeted by a top-ranking U.S. diplomat when they arrived in Virginia.
Welcome. Welcome to the United States of America.
President Trump signed an executive order in February claiming minority Africaners were being unfairly treated. The group now has a pathway to U.S. citizenship.
This is a very weird story. So the Afrikaners are the whites who practiced apartheid in the past when the blacks were oppressed. And now that they are not in power, the allegation is that they're being mistreated by the dominant South African black culture. And Trump claimed that there's a genocide going on. There's no evidence of that. What's weird about it is that out of all the refugees in the world that we are not allowing in now, Trump has made a special exemption for the white former apartheid practitioners. What? Go on, David. Go on.
Well, speaking of President Trump, he's being hosted by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman this morning in Saudi Arabia. It's the first stop on his four-day trip through the Middle East. Several deals and agreements are expected to be announced here in the next few days. And Pope Leo XIV's former living space in St. Louis is apparently on the market, Andrew. The former Immaculate Conception Church and Rectory was listed in February for $1.8 million. He lived there at the start of his journey to the priesthood in 1977-1978. I'm just guessing it's received a slight bump in property value.
Oh, that's a beautiful church. I think that's... There's one that's super famous in St. Louis. I just don't remember if that's the one, but man, it's a gorgeous church. I'm just looking it up real quick. So, all right, David, thanks so much for the update. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, I don't have time to tell it, John. I really love it. I'll tell you what. At the top of next hour, I'm going to tell you a story at 8:10 that it relates to this whole issue of indoctrination on campus and how to evaluate events, including whether, you know, some drag show or some speaker, Ibram X. Kendi or whatever, showing up at university is a problem or not. But we don't have time now, and we're going to have Chip Simmons on next. So, you know, just telling you it's coming a little bit later. You just have to wait. John, you have to be patient.
I know, but it's hard.
The Grand Fiesta Parade is May 30th at 7 p.m. Come celebrate with News Radio and Cat Country and light up the night. Great time downtown.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump is in Saudi Arabia meeting with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
I like visiting with you, and we've known each other very well, and I really believe we like each other a lot.
They're talking about economic investments and Middle East regional issues. The president will be addressing a business leaders forum in Riyadh today. South Africa's government denies persecuting white Afrikaners given refugee status by the Trump administration.
59 South Africans arrived on a private charter plane at Dulles International Airport outside Washington, D.C. President Trump fast-tracked their refugee status as his administration has shut down the overall U.S. refugee program, putting the white South Africans ahead of thousands of others who had been undergoing years of vetting and processing.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Kim Kardashian testifies against the men accused of robbing her at gunpoint in Paris in 2016 that she absolutely thought she was going to die that day. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Sunshine, 68 degrees right now in Pensacola. The new police chief in Milton is being sworn in this afternoon, Chief Jennifer Frank. She's already been on the job for a few weeks and wasted no time getting familiar with the community.
Just last week, we played basketball with some of our youth over at our new courts, and I'll tell you, they whooped up on us.
Frank tells Channel 3 law enforcement wasn't her first career path. She started out as a high school teacher when a student walked into a classroom with a loaded firearm. Shortly after the Columbine shooting, she disarmed that student. That's when she got into law enforcement, tells Channel 3 it's really the same job. She just doesn't have to decide what to wear now. Well, some alarming statistics about Florida drivers.
New research out today confirms that Florida is one of the riskiest places to get behind the wheel, with cities like Miami and Fort Lauderdale topping that list for dangerous driving behaviors. According to the latest report, five of the top eight crash-prone metro areas are in Florida, with South Florida leading the pack. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
The University of West Florida's president has resigned, Dr. Martha Saunders, yesterday, sending out a resignation letter saying she feels it's the right time for her and the university. She touted record enrollment and fundraising and the university achieving national recognition. Saunders has served as president since 2017. Now, her resignation comes after a dramatic Board of Trustees committee meeting just last week where she was questioned on DEI initiatives throughout her tenure.
A bunch of people watched me stand for the courage of my convictions just a couple weeks ago. And I'm wondering, like, did you push back on SUS or the board saying, I don't think that this should happen? Like, did you stand up for your convictions as some of these changes were happening?
I don't understand that question.
Trustee Adam Kissel there, and he was one of the trustees questioning Dr. Saunders. He remains on the board for several weeks despite the Senate not confirming his nomination last month. He could be reappointed by the governor as well. Later in the meeting, Trustee Alonzi Scott referred to the line of questioning from various trustees as an ambush on Dr. Saunders. Well, Polk County Sheriff's deputies say a car crash into a house in Lakeland that killed two people is now part of a murder investigation there. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd says first responders got to that scene after the victim's Mercedes sent an alarm to dispatch.
They discovered he's got a bullet hole in his chest. And then it goes from a fatal vehicle crash to a murder investigation.
And Judd said the driver, who was a teenager, drove to the neighborhood to sell marijuana. Several people approached the car. One shot him in an apparent robbery. The victim lost control trying to leave the scene. His car struck a 38-year-old man on an e-bike as it plowed into a home. No arrests have been made. It's 7:34 News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay there. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound heading toward I-10 is seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a small chance of an afternoon shower today, 10% overall. Most of us seeing mostly sunny, high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Keeping beautiful sunny weather around on Thursday with a high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. We've got 68 degrees in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, 66 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Consumer Price Index, a broad measure of goods and services costs across the U.S. economy, is expected to remain at a 2.4% rate in April on a year-over-year basis. That's according to the Dow Jones consensus. Data drops in 10 minutes. SoftBank's Vision Fund business has posted a loss in the fiscal year ending in March as it booked slowing gains at its massive tech investment firm. SoftBank said it notched a gain in investment at its Vision Funds of roughly $2.9 billion in the fiscal year. This is a 40% fall from the roughly $4.9 billion booked in the previous year. The U.S.-China tariff cuts, even if it's only for 90 days, can address a major pain point, Christmas presents. The National Retail Federation said nearly one-fifth of U.S. retail sales last year came from the Christmas holiday season. Futures are mixed ahead of inflation data. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 1160, the NASDAQ up 779, the S&P 500 up 184. That's your money now.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Tune in Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be here discussing how they can help individuals relieve severe pain through their latest in scalar and biophotonic energy room. This can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Well, that is not the sheriff's music. It is now.
You know it's good when there's singing going on. In
oh, I know when we're moving and grooving. Well, of course, but by that standard, your walk up music ought to be Salt and Pepper. So you know, oh, here we go. Come on now. Fair enough. Okay, so Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in the studio with me. He's also the everybody likes to be the DJ, everybody, which is fine. I kind of like that. So you're a big fan of Elvis, is that right?
I am.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
First concert I went to, my parents took me to see Elvis in Mobile.
Really?
Yeah, that tells how old I am, right?
A little bit more than 20.
More than 20. 20-ish, 20-plus.
Some news of the week. One thing is you have had a third, or you're still looking for a third suspect after you've had two arrests in the homicide of Andrew Sanders from, what, 2 months ago, a month ago, something like that?
Well, it happened on the 24th.
Oh, okay, so it was that recent. Okay.
Yeah. No, we did pick up the third one, so we've picked up all three of what we think are the killers. So...
What was the incident? Remind me, because sometimes we talk about all these and I do forget some of the particulars.
On the 24th, we got a call of suspicious activity, really, and it was witnesses said that one individual got into a car where it's at least two or three other individuals.
Oh,
there was
a
disturbance in the car.
Yeah.
They thought they heard a single gunshot. The next day, our deputies located the car, unfortunately, with the victim's body inside, and our investigators were able to determine who those three individuals were, and all three are being charged with felony murder.
And this is, do we now know, or did we know at the time, you know, retaliation, connected with crime, drug dealing?
Drug deal gone bad.
Okay.
The purpose for the meeting was to conduct a drug deal, and whatever happened inside the car was the gone bad part.
You used to work narcotics a long time ago in a former life.
That's true.
How common is that?
It's I wouldn't say it's over 50%, but there is a pretty high risk, I guess, when you're talking about how serious these things can be. I say it doesn't surprise us.
Okay.
Let me put it that way. And I will tell you that the homicides that we get reported, we talk a lot about it. About 2/3 of them are drug related and 1/3 are domestic violence related. Of those 2/3, the drug related ones, I call a drug ripoff gone bad.
Sure.
So that's think about that. Those are mostly violence associated with the drug deal itself.
And which is sometimes, you know, home invasions or breaking into the known drug house, trying to rob a drug dealer, that kind of thing. But that can be at their house, that can be in the car, that can be on the corner, that can be...
Yeah, people think it happens in a street corner, and certainly it does happen. In this case, it happened in a car.
Yeah.
But I think there are some, I know in the past that there have been some where, you know, you go to a place and you'll buy drugs and you look around and you'll realize this person's selling drugs and he's got money.
Yeah.
So we'll try to go and do what, like you said, a home invasion or just a burglary. Wait till they leave, and they break into the home and get the drugs. It's a dangerous endeavor.
I mean, if you're going to deal drugs and break the law, why not rob people and break the law? And you know, I mean, it's sort of like when you're in the mindset of it doesn't matter how I get the money.
Well, and the hope is they won't report it.
Yeah, right. Because they're not
drugs. I had $10,000 and a kilo of whatever, and someone stole it from me.
Are we winning?
I think that the efforts
is your agency winning?
I'm an optimist. I think that we are winning. I think if you look at the number of calls, the call volume that we get, if you look at what we're effectively able to do, and we can talk a little bit about a search warrant. But if you look at the number of search warrants that we're executing, what the effect that we're having on neighborhood, and not just the enforcement side but the engagement side, I think that winning is we're seeing some momentum regarding that, and I'm very positive about that outlook.
What would it take? And I'm assuming it's just more of what you've got. But okay, if you are winning in the war on drugs in Escambia County and violence and crime connected to drugs, what would it take to win more? What would it take to really, I mean, be decisively winning in a way that the community would say, "Oh my God, thank goodness they started this whatever program."
Well, I think that you know, historically we've looked at it through, let's get more people on there, let's give them more pressure, let's make more arrests. We have prioritized, you know, the drug dealers and the mid and upper level drug dealers. And I don't want to just pour money or manpower into a situation. Let's make use of technology. Let's do it wisely so that if we have money available, let's put up another license plate reader, another camera, so that people understand and it acts as a deterrent. Hey, I'm not going to meet someone for drugs right here. And also, if I'm selling drugs from my home, we got this thing called Crime Stoppers. We got this, you know, the sheriff's office is engaging. They're going to neighborhood associations. They're sharing the information. They got these signs that drug house is closed. I don't want to be that person. So let's change the way we do things. Or here's an idea. Let's stop selling the drugs. Let's stop with, the behavior that's going to put someone in jail. Or put someone, in the graveyard.
I know we're dwelling a little bit, but this to me is really interesting because if you're going to solve a problem, you got to understand the problem. And again, you have a lot of experience working narcotics, and obviously as police chief and as sheriff. Okay, so we make the price tag of drug dealing high, we make them scared, we deter away from drug dealing. What do they? The argument has always been that, well, they don't have good options. There aren't other ways to make money. They don't have training and education. That's always been an argument. And my question to you is, how much truth is there in that? And if you do make the price tag of dealing drugs really high, which you are working on, or make it even higher, what does happen? Because one thing is they could reform and take a job as a middle manager and some whatever. Or maybe they go somewhere else where it's easier to sell drugs. Mm-hmm. That pushes the problem elsewhere. It doesn't solve it, but it does push it away from here. In your assessment, what the people who are engaged in this criminal life, how do we get them to be productive? How hard is that?
Well, I you're talking about economics. The more people put in jail, the more drugs we seize, the price goes up. I think that what we're missing here is just a simple truth. They don't have to sell drugs. There are other options. No one's forcing you to sell drugs. No one's forcing you to ignore the laws. No one's forcing you to carry guns and to rip people off and to provide a drug that people die from. No one's forcing you to do that. This is a personal responsibility. And our job, I think, as law enforcement, is if you're going to take those risks and do this to our community, then you certainly will be put in jail whenever we catch you. We will catch you because we have a lot of resources, and we're partnering with our resources, matching that with the technology, so that we do have a plan moving forward. We're not just throwing more deputies out there just willy-nilly. We're putting the deputies where the deputies need to be, and we're preparing for the future. So again, I think it's I always kind of cringe when people say, well, what this person didn't have a chance in this, and this mm-hmm. person didn't have a chance in that. Anecdotally, you can talk to a number of people that have found their way out of those situations. Mm-hmm. And have been very successful. But again, it's a personal responsibility. You don't have to sell drugs. You choose to sell drugs. You choose to take that risk, and many times you go to jail for it.
I have one quick follow-up we'll get to in just a second. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Expect about a 10 to 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Sheriff, the question of deterrence, sort of most normal people look at, like, the conversation we're having, they're thinking about themselves, right? If I felt desperate, if I didn't have opportunity, would I resort to a life of crime? That's how human nature is. You project yourself into the situation. But I assume the reality, and I want to ask you this question, is how many people engage in crime because it's risky, because it's thrilling, because it's scary and dangerous and adventurous and whatever is going on? Like, they actually want the thing that you're trying to discourage them from doing. They're not doing it out of some necessity or something like that. Does that question make sense?
Well, I mean, it does, but I don't know that it negates my theory.
It doesn't.
You can't. You're jeopardizing someone else's life.
Of course.
In the situation that you're in, to include your own family. There have been cases where we've kicked a door in and the son, let's say, is doing drugs, and the parents live there, and they either don't know or have missed the cues.
Yeah.
And then they make it dangerous for their family because sometimes we have drive-by shootings, which again are not random, and then sometimes we have home invasions, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
So I think that regardless of your desperation, there are plenty of people out there that'll give you the assistance you need, whether it is job counseling, whether it is the military, whether it is something. So you have to make these decisions on your own. And, you can point to parenting, you could point to socioeconomics, you could point to a number of things. But ultimately, we all make decisions. I wasn't always the sheriff. I wasn't always a police officer. There were times when, when I was young and you had a decision to make regarding what you're going to do with your life. And you talked about deterrence. Is it deterrence? Is your deterrent a religious belief? Or is your deterrent the fear of going to jail? Or is it just not really the lifestyle that you want to live? Do you want more out of your life? And that's why we have the Blazer Academies. We the male and the female Blazer Academy, so we can remind them, really. And many of these people have great parents, but some of them do not. So some of them have a situation where they need to hear some of the messaging, and maybe some of that will stick to them.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I am a huge fan of that program, by the way, for all those reasons exactly. Just on the subject, you had another drug house you closed down, a 46-year-old in Cantonment, right? Which is maybe some people think, Cantonment? There's drugs in Cantonment? There's drugs in Cantonment, yes.
Well, it's a nice home. I mean, if you looked at it, the house is in a relatively nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I remember there's a picture on our Facebook page, and it kind of gives you an idea. First of all, a lot of marijuana. Some people will make a comment, oh, it's just marijuana. But if you look at this is not personal use marijuana. Some of it's packaged for distribution. But let's look a little deeper, and what you see there is you see cocaine as well. Mm-hmm. And I talk a lot about nowadays they have a mixture. They do this drug and that drug and that drug. But they have both look like powder cocaine and crack cocaine, which is rare these days. So, you know, you get a little bit of old school. Someone still knows how to cook the crack, or make crack cocaine. And then, again, you look a little deeper and you see what we've been talking about. You see two handguns in that photograph. So, we put the sign out there more or less to let the neighbors know, because many times the neighbors will call us and let us know what's going on. Hey, thank you for the call. You were right. This is a drug house, and it's closed, even if it's temporary.
You have a memorial service coming up Thursday?
Yeah, for the better part of a year now, we have been working on upgrading our memorial to make it more of a focal point at this in front of the sheriff's office. And again, it's two sides. The first side is the memorial side. And then there is what we call a plaza side, which is stadium seating, three or four levels of that. And then there's a star in the middle. And it allows us to better pay the respects to those who paid that ultimate sacrifice. And we will have our memorial on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning right in front of the sheriff's office on Leonard Street. So if you're free and you want to pay respects and you want to see our beautiful new memorial, which is about 95% completed, we should be about 98%. We'll make a couple changes after the fact, but the weather should be nice. Swing by and take a look at this memorial. Take a look at the names that are on there. Mm-hmm. 15 deputies or law enforcement officers and two canines who have died in line of duty serving in Escambia County since 1821.
And funded by the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation.
Thank you. The Escambia County Sheriff Foundation is funded this. There's no zero tax dollars. And then we move the latest memorial up to the Molino precinct. So we still have that one intact, and it's up in the north end of the county in case people want to pay their respects to a little closer to where they may live.
I read a story that surprised me, that the DEA, as of April 1st, eliminated body cameras. And that surprised me because I thought pretty much all law enforcement agencies were going toward body cameras because it exonerates your officers against false claims that get made about them a lot. And they, you know, in addition to serving generally, I mean, you were the innovator of body cameras at PPD. You brought them to Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And, you know, also it tends to calm people down because when they know they're going to be on camera, they behave better a lot of times.
Yeah, they can see it. I mean, we're not hiding the cameras right in the middle of the chest of the deputies. I really don't understand that. Everyone has their own philosophies, and I haven't read or talked to the individuals that are making that decision. I am a fan. As you said, there are a lot of times that you look at that and say, oh, no, the complaint that I'm getting doesn't match the body camera, doesn't match the attitude. And we're big on three things at the sheriff's office. We're big on courtesy, integrity, and professionalism, and you can see those clearly whenever you have a body camera on. We understand that the lighting and from a camera perspective is a little different than what you would see with your own eyesight.
Right.
And we take that into consideration. We understand the angles. We understand all of these things. Well, I also understand that when you fight, a camera falls off, or when it gets covered up with your arms. We understand all of that. But if you're running an agency, as I am, and you want to make sure that you're open and transparent, what better way than to have both body cameras and in-car cameras? We use it for training a lot.
Yeah.
And again, what we use it to give attaboys. I mean, I was watching one just a couple of days ago. One of our deputies was pursuing a car. The car crashed. The guy got out and ran. And our deputy, to his credit, ran him down and put the cuffs on him and then walked him to Dettol Walk a couple more blocks. It just makes me proud to see every day the job that our sheriff's deputies are doing. And I want our community to know just how good we are.
Yeah, no, for all those reasons, I'm a fan, I'm a supporter too. Last thing, it's a little bit in fun, but I think you'll appreciate this. You shocked me last week when you said that roughly 50% of your deputies, you guessed, had executed a pit maneuver. Uh-huh. That you thought maybe about half of them, because I was thinking it'd be more like 15, 10, maybe percent, something like that. And this is partially as a result of a change in policy, and we've talked about this a bunch. But it gave me an idea, which is, have you given any thought to a vinyl badge that you might be able to put on the side of the Tahoe that indicates how many pits that vehicle or that deputy has performed, the way they put it on fighters and bombers and tanks and things like this?
No. The answer is no. I haven't done that. We would rather people just stop. You know, we talk about personal responsibility. Why don't you just stop your car when you see the lights going? Or don't steal the car in the first place.
I just think with the new white paint scheme, it might be super visible. You know, might be kind of a fun little...
No, I haven't given much. I haven't given thought to that. You know, the canines used to do that for every apprehension they made.
Oh, all right, people, yeah.
And I've never been a canine. Toy. Okay. But then people are like, oh, you're encouraging them to bite individuals. Yeah.
Hey, it's good plays. It's stickers on the helmet, you know? That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't NASCAR. We don't need all the stickers on the cars.
Okay, well, you know, can't say I didn't ask. Sheriff Chip Simmons, this can be kind of Sheriff Chip Simmons. Great to have you. As always, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for all you do.
You bet. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on I-10 right now between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you'll see about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. No accidents to report to you right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying a home, selling a home, acquiring an investment property, whether that's a long-term, short-term, a vacation rental, a long-term rental, whatever the case may be, or a second home on the beach or on the water, you know, or not, you know, just somewhere else. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you with that. 165 homes sold last year, 175 homes sold the year before that, 200 plus when the times were super easy, when it's very easy to sell homes. They were doing great, and they're still doing great, 3, 3.5, 4 every single week. And the reason I tell you that is because it means they have experience. They know the market. They know what's normal. They know what problems and questions come up. They know how to screen people in order to find out, you know, are you a good candidate? Is this make sense to you? They can help you make a better decision, talk you out of maybe making a bad one that you don't realize is a bad one, but they're there to help. They're a resource. Ask them your questions. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who are you? Who am I? Shut up! I am the Shogun of Harlem!
I had somebody text in. It's like having the Coast Guard put the bales of drugs on the side of the ships on the cutters.
I think it's a great idea.
You could do like sheriff stars, you know, for the pit maneuvers performed. You could do, I don't know, you could do pictures of a bumper. You could do pictures of an overturned car. I don't know. It's probably not something you... But why not?
No, you're right.
Why not? All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
These were...
The Israeli-American hostage raised in New Jersey and just freed by Hamas is reuniting with his family after nearly 600 days in captivity. 21-year-old Eden Alexander is the last known American to be freed by Hamas. Kim Kardashian's in Paris today. She'll be testifying in her multi-million dollar jewelry heist trial. The robbers are charged with stealing more than $10 million in jewels from Kardashian and from Kardashian. Earlier today, she told the court she absolutely thought she was going to die that day. She was bound with zip ties and duct tape as the robbers took the jewels. And the Supreme Court hearing arguments this week over an issue related to President Trump's order to end birthright citizenship. The case isn't about the constitutionality of the order, but the scope that lower courts can issue nationwide injunctions. Trump's order to end birthright citizenship drew immediate lawsuits. Three lower courts issued injunctions. The Supreme Court will decide if the lower courts have that authority.
All right, David, thanks for the update. ECUA has told us that the way they are going to satisfy the ban on fluoride is to keep adding it to the water until they run out. So fluoridation will continue until they're out of fluoride, in which case it won't happen anymore.